Season 7, Episode 25 of the Ubuntu Podcast. Oh, blimey.
It's Wednesday. Oh, it's going to be like that.
It's going to be a good one. It's Wednesday, the 17th of September, and we're going to discuss what's happening in the news and in the Ubuntu community. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat thing on the website and in the #UPCIRC channel. I'm Alan, and joining me this week...
Hello!
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I was hoping... also a cat here.
Yeah, a very shaky cat. Yeah. I was hoping that we might actually get that one right. Oh, well.
Fine. Come back, Tony, all is forgiven. So, yes, it's just you and me today.
It is, and we're going to have to talk extra more.
Yes, extra more and slower. And maybe play more jingles. Maybe we should have a quiz.
Yes.
No. It's just us. We're doing the usual two episodes, and then at some point we'll release them, and then Tony will come back and save us from all of this madness.
Shall we get on with it?
Yeah, let's do that. And now it's time for the news. Oh, crikey.
Okay, we should just start again.
Let's go home. To much fanfare this week, Apple announced the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, along with their first foray into the, mobile market, but it's not really mobile, the wearables market in the form of the Apple Watch. Reception so far seems to be summarised as nice design, shame about the battery.
Mm. What's wrong with the battery? Is it the chunkiness of it?
It doesn't last very long.
Ooh.
So I think the same of most of these smartwatches. There's a few at the moment, a bunch of Android Wear based devices, and this new Apple one, which isn't actually out yet. But it seems like most of them are going to be like run for a day.
Oh right.
And then charge it overnight, which most people do with their phone, I guess. But it, you know, if you go away somewhere and you take your phone with you and you take your watch with you, it's like multiple devices you've got to charge overnight, because all of the devices really need a phone.
Yes. I guess in the past, in the olden days, you used to have to wind up your watch every night.
Yeah, but that was quite a nice, relaxing pastime. You know, I remember my dad taking off his watch and looking at the clock and checking to see it was right, and then
it's part of life, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's like near zero effort to go twist, 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 twist. And then, you know, put the watch back on.
Rather than having to look around and find yourself a socket and...
Or, you know, have a dedicated charger. Because with some of them, you have a little docking thing that the cradle that it sits in. And it's dedicated. It's not like having they haven't got USB leads, like USB Mini B or anything like that. So, you know, if you go away, you've got to take that thing with you. Or don't take your watch. Huh. So they all suffer a little bit from that.
Yeah.
There was also a free gift.
Oh, yes. What was the free gift?
The free gift for all iOS users was a copy of a U2 album.
A what?
Yeah. Mm. So they announced the free U2 album to be delivered automatically to iOS users, which caused much confusion among the young, for whom U2 is typically a sign-off for a text message conversation and not the name of the band. But thankfully, it can be removed.
Yes, with a bit of effort.
Yeah. Or you could just not download it in the first place.
Well, anybody who's got auto-download on, though, got it automatically.
See.
And so I saw people on Facebook saying, I've got this U2 album. I hope they've not charged me for that. And then somebody else saying, yeah, I've got it too. It won't go away.
There was a whole Tumblr set up just for reactions of people who've received this U2. Mostly kids saying, who are these people? What are you doing with those?
But why U2? I mean, what's the target demographic?
People with lots of money and no taste, I guess.
Huh.
Well, not, because it's free.
So well, yeah.
Maybe not. Mm.
Huh.
There you go. Moving on. The Document Foundation have invited companies to tender for work to port LibreOffice to Android tablets and phones.
So this is actually paying people to do it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Rather than, you know, what they normally do is, you know, take donations and ask you for money at the point when you download the Office.
Oh, software. Right.
The same way that we do with Ubuntu.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's pretty successful for us. I don't know how successful, but didn't we talk to Michael Meeks?
We did.
Fairly recently about this whole nagging people for money at the point that you download. And, you know, it must be successful enough that, you know, they can keep the foundation running, but probably not enough to fund, you know, a good few months. I mean, they've said they want to provide a framework and integration tasks to provide for basic editing capabilities. So, you know, basic office that you get on a mobile device. You're not going to be creating like massive presentations and huge spreadsheets and stuff.
No, but just be able to tweak what you've got.
Yeah, view them and fiddle, you know, that kind of stuff. It's expected to be completed around February next year. So
wow, that's not long.
Now in September, if you take the tendering process to take a month or so, that's like mid-October. So then you discount,
take off Christmas.
It's not long.
That's not long.
I don't know how much of the work they've already done. There may be some work that they're going to base this on, or some frameworks they can base this on. But it's an interesting model.
It might help towards Stuart Language's no laptop presentation thing.
Oh yes,
because he'll be able to run it on his phone properly, and then
So for those who don't know, Stuart Language has been asking around on Twitter and various places how to give a presentation with just his phone and not have to carry a laptop because he's lazy. and I think most of the issues are mostly hardware related, not software. It's like how to get the thing talking to the projector
and the battery
and HDMI and battery life and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but once I started actually looking at it, it's not that great being able to project from your phone, because you, like, I think the PDF thing I had ended up with the borders at the top and the bottom or something. It was never slick enough that you just went full screen and that worked.
Right. Well, I would expect him, you know, being Stuart, to do
something. To just write an app.
HTML. It would all be HTML. And
that's true.
So it would all be seamless and lovely. But yeah, we'll see what comes of this LibreOffice, and hopefully maybe they'll port it to Ubuntu one day.
Yep. And it's all change again for Novell and SUSE, as their parent company Attachmate is bought by UK IT consulting firm Micro Focus.
Nope, I'd never heard of them either.
SUSE were quick to assure their user base that it was not in fact all change, but business as usual.
Mm. Yeah, so they posted a news article on the OpenSUSE news website to assuage any thoughts that, you know, things were going down the pan as a result of this sale, but as they call it, merger.
I was imagining.
Between Attachmate and Micro Focus. They also had an interesting IRC meeting just today,
uh-huh.
3 o'clock today, and it was an open forum on IRC for people to ask questions and find out more about the whole acquisition merger process. There was a couple of guys from OpenSUSE Project there and some community people. That was quite funny. It struck me as very much the typical IRC meeting among geeks. The first few questions were, you know, given this is like a company the size of, you know, Attachmate and Novell, and how many millions changing hands for this, and they were talking about, do you prefer tea or coffee? What type of beer do you like? And, the typical like nerdy kind of conversations you have on IRC. And then they gave in some detail about the actual impact of it.
So how have they got to here? Because this is OpenSUSE.
So SUSE was bought by Novell.
Right.
So Novell owned SUSE.
Back in the day.
Yeah. And then subsequent to that, Novell was bought by Attachmate.
Right.
And then now Attachmate sold to Micro Focus.
Or merged with,
yes. So there's an IRC log where you can see the Q&A. The bullet points are SUSE will not be changing their name. There's no plans for SUSE to change their focus from data center, cloud, and distributed storage. Micro Focus is interested in all of the business units, but they definitely saw SUSE as a big area of growth. So that's good news for them.
That is good.
Yeah. Moving on. Jeff Hoogland is stepping down from maintainership of the Bodhi Linux distro. The Ubuntu derivative distro features the Enlightenment desktop and is renowned for being lightweight and customizable. It's not known if someone will take the mantle or if the project will discontinue.
Is it bad if I say I've never heard of it?
No, because, you know, I'm sure there are lots of distros that most people haven't heard of.
Yep.
In fact, I went to look. I wasn't sure if it was based on Debian or Ubuntu. So I went to DistroWatch, which is everyone's favourite Linux distro website. And
especially if they tell you that you've got the most downloads.
Well, yes. And interestingly, Bodhi wasn't on the front page, you know, as in the list of, you know, there's like a list of top 50 distros on the right-hand side. And that kind of surprised me because I thought it was more popular than that. I mean, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
And I know people do use it because it's lightweight and good for low-end machines and it comes without too much software.
Is that its kind of USP?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for people who like Enlightenment, I mean, Enlightenment's got a reputation for being quite lightweight.
Right, not, yeah.
You know, if you like asked, you know, man in the street, what's the lightest desktop? They'd say, you what, mate?
You what? But,
you know, if you asked another man in the street and eventually kept asking people, you'd eventually find someone who would say Enlightenment is a lightweight desktop. Yeah.
Could take a while.
It might take some time, but yes.
And in almost gaming news, an ingenious hacker has ported Doom to work on some models of Canon printer. The hack was actually done to highlight a vulnerability in the firmware shipped on the devices. Demonstrated by Michael Jordan at the UK 4Con Hacker Conference, he said, the printer has a 32-bit ARM processor, 10 meg of memory, and even the screen is the right size. I had all the bits, but it was a coding problem to get it all running together. Huh. I believe he spent about like months. I believe he spent months doing it.
Oh, right.
In his own time.
Huh.
I'm
being told by IRC that we need to turn up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, on the thing. No, that one. We really don't know what we're doing.
I could speak louder.
That would be good. They asked me to be closer to my microphone. I'm basically...
eating his microphone. Any closer and there'll be bits of...
Yeah, the whole
form come breaking off.
Oh man, we are professional. Just not at this. yeah, so this is quite cool.
Yeah,
you know, running games on a printer just to prove a point that, you know, these things are vulnerable, and you know, it's one good way to highlight that fact. It gets a good news story. You know, just man hacks printer.
Yeah,
is not a particularly newsworthy thing, but man hacks printer and puts a game on it is. Going to get news.
The thing is, though, when I saw the headline originally, I thought the fact that he got it onto the printer is the kind of thing that people go, oh yeah, I've got this onto a Raspberry Pi or whatever, and he's got Doom onto a printer. I'm like, well, what's he going to do with it now?
Right.
But yeah, apparently it was more serious than that.
I saw one of the comments was something like, excuse me, I've got some photocopying to do. I'll be back in a bit. So yeah, that's quite cool. I quite like that. A petition has been submitted to Facebook urging them to allow performers to use stage names in their profile. Facebook's undergoing a similar pressure that has beset Google a few years back with their real name policy. Google eventually relented soon after the departure of Google Plus lead Vic Gundotra. Facebook is sticking to their guns, saying the real name policy allows them to increase accountability and protect the community.
Yes, so this was kind of flipping that round, and... it was particularly drag queens who have stage names that are very different from their own, and they were being forced to use their real names, which, for a start, nobody's going to know them as anyway. But also, I think there were some comments about their own safety by having to identify who they were.
Don't people normally have stage names anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Jono has his page on Facebook, and it's like, you know, it's him. If he had a different name, he would have a separate page for, you know, in the same way that I'm sure Dave Lee Travis or whoever celebrity that suddenly comes to
mind. Not that one.
No, maybe not that one. It's only because I heard on the news that his real name was David
Griffin. Yeah.
So,
but well, Jono's Jonathan, I think. So
right. So you can have a separate name. I don't quite understand why.
I don't know how they police the real name thing, because they. I mean, do they have a database full of what they consider to be real names? Because people do weird spellings of names sometimes, even if, you know, like Kate with a C-A-T-E, which you don't see very often, but people use it.
I don't know if they actually, how much research they put into it. But I know people on Google Plus, people got bounced for, you know, not having what they considered a real name.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried creating one for a not person on Google Plus and it wouldn't have it.
Right.
But sort of, yeah, don't know why.
And another week, another leak. This time, a glut of Gmail accounts and apparent passwords have been leaked online.
Oh, yeah.
Millions.
Ooh.
Millions and millions.
Should change my password.
I had a look. I downloaded the list and had a look to see if my own email address was in the list, and luckily it wasn't.
So, okay.
Yay me. I don't know where these came from. But yeah, as always, the people should be sensible about their password security, and you know, use two-factor auth if it's available, and change your password, and use mixtures of numbers and letters, and all the usual stuff. But you know, most people don't.
No.
There's a one of these infographics. I think LastPass made it. One of these infographics about, you know, the password leaks, and you know, everything is summarized in a big, tall picture. And partway through was like the top 10 passwords that people use, and they were the typical ones: 123456, and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. So, lesson learned, clearly not.
Mm. The annoying thing about the leaks is that if they get your password, it's like, oh, I've got to think of another one.
No, just put one on the end. That's the trick.
So, Windows 9 is apparently just around the corner. And now, in 2014, Microsoft has seen fit to add multiple desktops, finally catching up with Unix, Linux and OS X. But
Do people use that?
I don't know, but didn't Ubuntu remove them?
yeah, Windows, you're catching up late to the party. We had that for years, and we decided it was not cool anymore.
It's so that passé.
We got rid of it. No, it's because it confused people.
Yes.
So we got rid of it in the default. So by default, you don't have a little button that lets you switch, because people found themselves on another desktop and couldn't find their way back. And part of that actually might be just down to the implementation of multiple desktops.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if OS X users have that problem, and I don't know if GNOME Shell users have that problem, because the way they implement multiple desktops on both of those platforms is different, in that you have one to start with and you actively have to make another one.
Yeah. Which
it looks like, from these leaks, it looks like Windows and Microsoft are doing the same thing with Windows, where you start off with just one desktop and then you add them as you need them. Whereas on Linux, we tend to give you four by default, and that's how you end up finding yourself on a blank desktop and wonder how you got there.
Yeah, what would be really neat, as I said, I don't know what the others do either, but is if you could, when you started an app, you told it, you could, you know, you had the option of going, right click, start this app on this desktop.
Right.
Because what I have to do is go around each desktop and start the app, then stay on that desktop while the app loads, because otherwise, if you change desktop, it then loads on the wrong. Oh, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, I had that. VirtualBox is an annoying one for me for that. It you start it on one desktop, and if you reboot the VM, and you switch desktops in the meanwhile, when the VM reboots, because it's a new window, it reappears on another desktop. It's like, no, get over there.
I also find that on my ThinkPad when I redock it, because I've got dual monitor set up, it's not quite there. Right. So it gets confused. So then I end up with everything on a single desktop workspace. And then I'm clicking it and it's like, nothing's appearing.
Yeah, it's all appearing off screen somewhere. Yeah. Yes. So good. Microsoft are going to have all those kind of support issues.
Yay! We have some space news.
Oh, yes.
NASA have granted billions of dollars in funding to Boeing and SpaceX to...
I think you mean billions.
Billions! to fund the next generation of astronaut transport to the ISS, the International Space Station. Mm. The new US-built rockets should come online by 2017, ending their reliance on Russia for catching a lift to space.
That's good news for them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It does seem a bit weird that they buy their rockets from Russia, though. So, yeah, having them home-built would probably be a good thing.
Yeah. So shall we get on with some gaming news, or...?
We got one little snippet of gaming news. Minecraft developer Mojang has been bought by Microsoft for $2.5
billion.
Billion? Billion dollars, sorry. The founders are set to leave the company when the deal is done, with Jeb staying to continue working on the game.
Who's Jeb?
He's the guy who currently maintains the game. So it's not actually...
All by himself?
Marcus, who... I think there's a team, but he heads the team.
Okay.
It's not actually Marcus Pearson Notch, the guy who originally set up the company. He doesn't maintain Minecraft anymore. He moved on and does other fun stuff. It was interesting because a lot of people kind of went a bit nuts about Microsoft buying and, oh my gosh, it's going to go down the pan. And I'm more of a wait and see. Let's see what happens. But, well...
What's something?
He wasn't remotely bothered. To be fair, he plays Minecraft on an Xbox most of the time, so you know.
Okay.
And that's the end of the news.
Podcast needs you. Yes, you. If you hear something that entertains, engages, or enrages you, tweet at UUPC or email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. You can also talk to us on the telephone, Skype, Facebook, and Google+. Find links to all these places on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. Please do get in touch. I mean it. Just one message, just to know there's someone out there who cares.
And now it's time for the community news. And first off, Nick Skaggs has mailed the Ubuntu quality team list to pre-announce the final beta of Ubuntu 14.10.
Ooh.
Which is soon. Very soon.
What, like when?
25th, I think, of September. So if you're listening to this...
October? The beta.
Beta, yeah. Final beta. September. So next week sometime.
Or the week after.
Yeah. Soon. So he's posted some links. So if you're inclined to test this stuff out, you know, if you're feeling a bit brave and you've got some hardware, then download.
Not brave, surely. It's continuous development, so it should be perfect already.
Yeah, in theory, that's true. In practice, you know, stuff breaks. So that's why we get people testing it before we release it. That's the whole point of that.
It's good testing.
Yes.
And there's a mail from Ted about a launch script for phone apps.
Yes.
What's this?
So, you know how when you launch an application on the desktop, you run the app. You click a link and you're not that far away from directly running an executable somewhere.
Right.
Right. On the phone, we do it a bit differently. We launch it with Upstart. Upstart has a concept of a job and then launches the job, and the job runs the application, and the application runs under Upstart, right?
In its own little thread bit.
In its own container, right? But that's fine, and that all works and everything, and it's part of the life cycle that it gets killed if it's, you know, long running and all that kind of stuff. But it makes it hard to debug sometimes. You sometimes want to just run an application. You know, like sometimes if an app crashes, you want to run it from the command line and see if it spits out any output.
Yeah.
So Ted wrote a little script that makes it easy to do exactly that. So you can just launch an application and get the output rather. Yeah, because we've kind of abstracted away the start of the application.
It just makes it harder to debug then.
Exactly. So he wanted to make something that makes it easier to debug, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Ubuntu Loco team in Mauritius have posted details, of their global jam held last weekend with photos and interesting details about what they did.
Do you think we should do like an exchange program?
I totally do.
Yeah.
They can come here and control the desk.
And I'll go to Mauritius.
You just go to Mauritius.
I win.
Don't worry about the global jam. You just go to Mauritius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. And there's a mail from Ollie about release cadence.
Yeah. This.
Don't we have it already?
Well, we do. That's the interesting thing. We do for the desktop. So normally the desktop releases every 6 months and has done for the last 10 years. Has it been that long? But the phone is different. The phone is out of sync with the normal release because it's dependent upon manufacturers when their sales cycle starts.
Yeah.
So we have to align with that and make images that people can install on their phone and then subsequently get updates for that device.
Yes.
And then when another device comes along, we have to do an image for that one and do updates for that device.
With all the hardware changes and...
Well, yeah. So, yeah, if there's, you know, some device specific stuff that needs to be, you know, sent out to those devices, or if it's something that's, you know, an app that covers all of the devices, like the music app, which is on every device, that goes out in another way. But yeah, if there's any platform related stuff, and it talks about security updates and all kinds of other issues that and how those updates go out and how frequently they go out. So it's an interesting mail, and it's a complete change for us because normally it's a 6 month cycle.
Oh yeah.
So it's very, very different. And we keep getting a lot of questions from people saying, you know, how are you going to maintain these phones after the release? What's going to happen with them? You know, how is it going to be, you know, I buy the phone and I get one image on there and then never get any updates? Or, you know, is it? Are you going to update the thing? Or, you know, how often am I going to get them?
So, that was really annoying on my old Android phone. It just went further and further behind everyone.
I think that happens with everyone, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's worth a read to get an idea of the plan.
Cool.
And finally, we have one event
One event?
The only event.
What event is that?
Og Camp, of course.
Oh, silly me.
And it's surprisingly close, 4th and the 5th of October. It's not long now.
Ooh, yeah. That's
really soon, yes.
That's like our next show, nearly. Just after our next show. I'm yes. Sorry, I've just eaten too much sugar.
So Og Camp is the premier free culture armed conference in uh-huh. the UK. It's at the Oxford Hotel in Oxford in the UK. You can get all the details at ogcamp.org, where you can get information and tickets. Tickets are free, but if you want to, we'll do a pay what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people have paid what they like, and some have paid quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's very, very kind and generous.
Lovely and generous.
And it helps us run the event, because without that, we just flat out couldn't do the event at all. And we have a bunch of sponsors.
We do.
One of them is Ubuntu.
Yay!
So sponsored by Canonical, supported by Canonical.
And that's coming from the Pay What You Want on the desktop downloads.
Yes.
Which is really cool, because that's community again, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But so people who've downloaded Ubuntu and then paid a bit of money to the Ubuntu project, some of that money was used to sponsor our account, which I think is really quite nice. Linux Voice.
The awesome Linux Voice.
Awesome Linux Voice. And they're going to be there.
Oh, cool.
And they're thinking about recording an episode of Linux Voice while they're there.
Excellent.
I suggested that they
live?
They said, we'll find a room to do it. We're not doing it live. I was like, you totally should do it live.
Chicken.
How about we merge all four of them together? Ubuntu, Linux Voice, Outlaws podcast. And they were like, maybe.
Hacker Public Radio as well.
Yes. So, yeah, they'll be there. Whether they'll record in public or hidden in a broom cupboard somewhere, I don't know. But they'll be there. And thank you very, very much for sponsoring.
That's very cool.
And the other main sponsor is the Og Camp community through
those donations. That's you.
Yeah, those donations. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of speakers and some exhibitors. You can find out more about that on the website. And, 4th and 5th, come to Og Camp in Oxford. It's good fun.
We'll be there.
Yeah, we certainly will. That's all for episode 25. We'll be back in a week when
hopefully we'll be doing it better.
When we'll be discussing all kinds of things and also having some interviews that Mark recorded.
Yes. Yes.
So if you're listening live, then stay listening and we'll try and fix whatever audio glitches there are.
I'm sorry.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thank you for listening and putting up with that.
More cake.
More cake, definitely. Cake on tea.